problems. Your problems make my dick soft.
Will you re-record that?
Yeah, that was one of my early hits.
Hmm.
You know, when I used to sing more R&B shit and whatnot.
What was that band called?
That was Sexual Assault. That was the first band I was in high school. Your problems. Your problems make my dick soft. And then
I
did a remix version with Jada T, my college group.
Jada T, that's the one I'm familiar. I'm familiar with that album. Yeah.
Jada T had, that definitely took off more. That was that was really my wheelhouse.
Oh, you felt that you really came into your stride?
Oh yeah. I mean, if I hadn't moved and hadn't gone through the surgery, I would still be singing today.
Right. Know? Remember like that R. Kelly interview we saw where he referred to himself and his past self. He was like, back then that was some R. Kelly classics.
Right. And now he said I've even topped myself.
Right.
Like this R. Kelly is better than R. Kelly. You know,
do you feel that way about your comedy albums?
I mean, this Tom Segura is like, it's like he's even funnier than Tom. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Like, I think if Tom now were to listen to Tom then, he'd be like, that's funny, but check out my new shit, man.
Check out new Tom. You have to refer to yourself.
New Tom.
In third person. Right?
Is looking back at old Tom, be like, oh, I see what you were doing, but look what I'm doing now.
Yeah. And new Christina always likes Christina's husband.
Oh, right.
Christina's husband's doing.
But I wonder if Christina's husband has a preference over which Tom she likes.
I like them all.
Oh, that's good. Can I just tell you, we're here setting up this this new episode we're about to drop on these people.
Oh, boy.
And I just got back from Flappers Comedy Club, and all these mommies came out to the show.
So cool.
And I just want to say thank you. Like, they were awesome. We have the best fans.
The best fans.
So I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you to each and every one of you that came out and supported. And you guys were awesome audience. And I really appreciate it. So thanks for doing it.
Yeah. And can I say some mommies tweeted at me and were like, are you going to be at Flappers? Unfortunately, I did a show in downtown, so I couldn't
Holy fuck.
Holy fuck. Yeah. But I'm so glad you guys came out and supported Tom.
Yes.
That really means a lot. Thank you guys.
Yeah, really.
You guys are the best.
A lot of love. And so look, we're going to make this short and sweet. Please check out our friends at allthingscomedy.com. It is our home. It is the place that it's headquarters, right?
It's where we fold our jeans and put them up at night.
And we put them up away and we make sure the crease is nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I recommend that you check out this week? We may have said him before, but how about go check out Tom Rhodes?
Oh, Tom Rhodes.
We had him in the mommy dome the other day.
Can I tell you, our Tom Rhodes episode started off pretty tame, and I feel like we went on a crazy train.
It was so much fun.
The wine came out.
Yeah.
Tom Rhodes drank about 4 double espressos,
and
then he drank about a half a bottle of wine with us.
Yeah, he was fun.
And it went off the rails. It was so much fun.
I want to hang out with that dude all the time.
All day, every day, and his cool wife.
So this episode here, I think you're really going to enjoy.
it's a crazy train of its own.
We had to split it up in 2 parts, and people are like, why the fuck are you doing 2 parts? Well, because first of all, it's super long, and people don't listen to entire episodes when they're that long. Some of you are like, I would, but guess what? You're not everybody. And we know this because we have the data, and it doesn't support that theory. So
we have the data.
We got all the data.
And
so,
also, don't you feel like this episode, Yoshi, we gave him free reign?
Oh my God, did
we
ever.
It went places that we weren't even expecting this
holy
episode.
Holy shit, this guy.
This went places that made us uncomfortable. We did a little therapy.
Oh my God.
We
it's
did
really
a lot.
It's bananas.
Yeah.
So here's episode 88, part 1.
Enjoy it.
In a couple days, we're not going to make you wait long. We will release part 2 of the craziest shit we've ever had in the mommy dome.
Oh, and visual aids, because Yoshi brought a visual aid. We're going to put that on the website so that you guys can see what we got to see.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bye, jeans.
Bye, mommy.
Rolling.
Silly gooses, geeses, silly mooses, meeses.
All right. Jeans.
Yes.
Why don't you tell people where they can see you?
Well, little mommies, I'm going to be at the San Jose Improv in San Jose, California, January 3rd through 6th of 2013.
Wow.
And then at the Kansas City Improv in Kansas City, January 24th through 27th. I'm looking to next year.
Bam, that's the way to do it.
And then I'm going to be with you in San Francisco.
Yes, that is December 21st through 23rd at Cobb's in San Francisco. But before that, I'm going to be... This weekend, the 6th through the 8th, I'm going to be at the Laugh Shop in Calgary.
Okay.
At the Blackfoot Inn, if you know where that is, off of that street. And then I'm going to be in Vegas at the, I think, LA Comedy Club. And then, yeah, Cobb's. And then the first week of 2013, since we're doing that, I'll be at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg.
Schaumburg. I love Schaumburg.
I'm going to be there January the 3rd through the 5th, I think.
Can I recommend a dish to you?
Sure.
At the club?
Yes.
Do yourself a favor and get the Asiago chicken.
Okay.
It'll blow your asshole apart. So
well, I like chicken. So that should be fine. Yeah, that's exciting. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Your Mom's House
is brought to you by Stamps.com. Mm. Guys, with the holidays almost here, you don't have the time to go to the post office. You know why, Tommy?
Traffic.
Traffic.
Parking.
Parking blows.
Yep.
Everybody's out there, all these Sunday drivers. So it's going to be packed with everybody mailing holiday gifts at the post office and packages. So do what we do. Use Stamps.com instead.
That's right. With Stamps.com, you can avoid all the hassle of going to the post office during the busy holiday season. Everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your own desk the way we do. You can buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and printer. You can print that postage for any letter or package the instant you need it. And best of all, the mailman will come and pick it up from your house.
Is there anything easier than that? Especially in the holidays, man. I'm telling you, I can't even drive past the post office without feeling my insides get nervous just knowing what's going on in there.
It's the best. This is the best product that we endorse.
Hands down.
It's Stamps.com. We use it. Send out all of our merch.
We absolutely do. It's so much easier than going out and having to do things in the outside world. We can stay home and just get fatter and fatter.
And we can get better deals. We get better deals on the postage. And that, in turn, goes off and you get those savings, too. So here's the special offer right now. You can get this offer. If you go to stamps.com, you click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and you use our promo code, which is MOM, M-O-M, you can try a no-risk trial. It is a $110 bonus offer. It includes an awesome silver digital scale.
I'm looking at it right now, Jeans. It's right
beautiful.
There. Tiny.
Beautiful. Do you see this? Do you see how nice this is? It's nice, huh?
That's a scale. Could you believe that?
Perfect. Yeah. Gives you accurate measurements. Small. Lets you know the exact amount of postage, no guessing. Mm-hmm. And then you just hit print and your postage comes out. It's like printing money, kid.
Mm-hmm. And we get $55 worth of free postage to start with.
That's huge. That means,
labels.
You know what that means? You could try this trial that we're offering and take care of all of your holiday postage
for
free.
Yeah.
You could do free holiday mailings.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I know.
So it's pretty awesome. Once again, go to stamps.com. Click on that microphone, top of the homepage, and type in MOM, M-O-M, that's stamps.com, enter MOM, or go to your mom's house podcast.com, click on our banner, it'll take you right to the Stamps offer. Now, with that out of the way, we also have some interesting and exciting news from our store for the holidays, and this is a special thing we're doing just for the jeans out there.
Merry Momsmas.
That's right. That is the Top Dog shirts are 25% off.
Get out.
They're on sale. So if you go to yourmomshousepodcast.com, you click on the store, you can get a Top Dog shirt for 25% off. That's going to be for the month of December. And it's just
awesome.
Our way of saying, I love you, Mommy.
I love you and Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah.
Here's another thing. We have the Wipe Down collection, which is the Top Dog shirt, all three albums. Your album, It's Hard Being a Person, my first album, Thrilled, White Girls with Cornrows, and... your poster, all together.
A glamour shot from Sears.
That's everything. And then we have a brand new shirt that we just signed off on.
Are you ready?
And it's an insiders only. We're calling the shirt For Real Mommies Only.
That's so good, because it is.
It is. It's a list style shirt where mm-hmm. it has the expressions, the phrases, some of the most popular phrases that have come out of this show. Mm-hmm. And it's done with a really cool design by our good friend Ash Otaki. Mm-hmm. And Ash, right? She did an awesome job. So right now you can pre-order that shirt. And I'll tell you what, if you place the order this week, before the weekend is over, I guarantee we will ship it out to you before Christmas. So that's a great Christmas present if you're a real mommy.
For real mommies only. Yeah, get it if you know that your spouse would love it. Because you guys both listen, or your friends or whoever, get one.
And it's it's a super high quality shirt.
Yeah,
and
we don't fuck around with quality at your mom's house.
Super nice shirt, and it's only $20.
Get out.
For the shirt. So it's pretty cool. Please check that out at your mom's house. podcast.com. Click on the store, and we also have some additions in the mommy mail section if you want to check out some some photos that maybe you missed last week. There's some cool stuff to check out there. I'm gonna put my first couple of headshots.
I cannot wait.
My handsome boy modeling school headshots.
I cannot wait.
So are you ready to start the show,
dude? You guys have no idea.
We have our great guest, one of your favorites ever, Yoshi, is back. Let's start the show.
Meow, meow.
What's happening, hot stuff?
His name is Long Duck Dong. Long Duck Dong.
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mama in the fuck is dead!
Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura.
And Christina Pajitsin. Christina
Pajitsin. Welcome to your mom's house.
That's kind of low.
What?
Sound low to you?
Do you hear popping?
I hear popping, and it sounded kind of low in my headphones.
Weird, man. We got to fuck with this. I don't know. That's what sucks. Technology.
What happened?
I don't know.
It fucking Blue Band's fault?
Maybe. Where's Blue Band? I don't even see him around.
Oh, he's not on the desk. That's why he's up there looking at us from his perch.
He's ditching as usual. Anyways, well, we'll work on that. I'm sorry if there's any popping in your earbuds. We are overjoyed to bring back one of our favorite guests ever, and certainly one of your favorite guests, Yoshi, the man, the myth, the legend, is back in the studio. Thanks for coming in again, Yoshi.
It's great to be back. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, man.
I'm already laughing. This is a funny
show.
We love you.
Did you like, we selected that special intro for you. Did you like it, or?
That was perfect. I'm just glad you didn't do the, I can't even say Gangnam Style.
Oh, no.
That's lame.
No, I would never play. I have other music selected for you.
Because all the, oh.
Oh, I like that. Dun, dun, dun. I think PSI is going to cover this one next, right?
Psy?
Is it PSY? Psy?
Psy.
How do you say it?
Psy,
you
that's
Yoshi.
It.
Psy.
Yeah.
I thought it was
I like him. He's great. But this is the first year where Europeans stopped calling me Jackie Chan.
Jesus.
That his music video is so popular.
It's so funny.
Yeah. Are they calling you Psy now?
No, but I mean, they make talk about it. Like, wow. I had something to do with it, but...
now, can I tell you, I feel like this is an interesting topic, like, right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I like to text, because I think about this sometimes. I feel like, do you kind of feel like that racist stuff, racism against Asians is more accepted among people? Like, shit like that? Like... You know,
I think I know where you're going with it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like okay to make fun of Asian people for some reason.
Like, I think a lot of people are like, it's not a big deal. You know?
You know, I could.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I can't hear you over that.
I might be a wrong person to ask me that question. Well, because I like racist stuff to talk about.
Right.
So I've been called racist many times. It doesn't bother me at all. But
that's why you're here, buddy.
But. I think the biggest problem is I think Asian people tolerate it.
There you go.
Oh.
They tolerate it more.
Because no black person will tolerate that shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
they overreact sometimes.
They definitely do. That's true. But they also, I think, as a whole, like pretty much more people are like, that's not cool. If it's black, well, racist, or Mexican
stuff.
But
here's why. But black especially, we're very sensitive because we never had Asian people as slaves.
Right.
That's probably why. Well, here's the thing.
And we would have worked harder.
You guys would
Let's
have
be
worked,
honest.
Yeah. It would have been the
you
food
guys
was
be
delicious.
Great slaves.
Now, I went Asians? To my I went to my hairdresser yesterday who's Mexican American. Mm-hmm. And he says he's like, "Wow, you guys live in kind of a white neighborhood." And he kept making fun of me like,
"Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you love mayonnaise and you're a honky." And it didn't bother me. I thought it was really fun and amusing, and I was like, "I kind of wish people would make fun of me more for being white cuz it kind of
It's kind of fun.
It was fun. Like,
I don't understand
I liked
when
it.
People don't like mayonnaise.
Who
I've heard that
like?
Jab before, and they're like, "Oh, mayonnaise." I'm like, "Dude,
did you say
not-
jab or jap?
Jab.
Jab. Okay. I'm just making sure."
But when they say that, I'm like, "How do you not like mayonnaise, man?
No.
Mayonnaise is. Do you like not like mayonnaise?
I love mayonnaise.
Asian people love mayonnaise.
You know, though, that maybe the difference is when you're in position of power and when you're racist, you could inflict more pain. But I think I'm just not sensitive with that sort of things.
Yeah.
I think it's good to talk about that, clear the air so everybody knows where we're coming from.
Right.
But I think some people are not comfortable with that.
So has anyone ever done or said something where you're like, "Hey, I'm offended," like something racially to you, or done something like that where you're like, "Hey, man, that's not cool"?
No, but if I'm with other Asian friends, then I might have to say that, but I'm not speaking for me,
right,
because it really don't bother me at all. Because if it did let it get to me, I'm giving too much power to those people.
That's
you know?
A really
there you
good
go.
Point.
And
hey, Yoshi.
Oh, Tom, it's really insensitive towards us.
Now,
oddly enough, that's the sound I make when I jerk off.
when you're with a bunch of Asians, do you guys, I asked this on stage when I was in Baltimore. I brought black people up on stage, and I asked them, "So what do you say about white people? Like, what's the stuff that you talk shit about white people?" Because it was an all-black audience.
Yeah,
it was
things.
The most fun thing I've ever done. And the club afterwards was like, "That's the craziest thing anyone's ever done here.
What
please
did they
never."
What do they say?
Well, before I say what they said, I'm wondering.
Oh, okay. I love it.
Asians, do you have, like, is there stuff that Asians would say, like, you know, pretty much a generalization or universally do they say about white people? Like, what are the stereotypes?
Yeah,
or the
do
things?
We smell?
Is our behavior weird? Is there something like, "Oh, that's a white thing"?
Be honest. Don't
no,
know
no,
that.
No, I'm not. Believe me, being honest is not difficult.
Now,
for me.
I know that black girls think that white girls are super easy, that we just give it up. I've heard that
Yeah,
stereotype.
I've heard that before, too, yeah.
Which is true a lot.
I think I hear more about, not the whites, but the blacks and Latinos. I think.
Yeah, what do you hear? What do you say?
Among the Asian people?
Yeah, among Asian people.
Yeah,
depends. I mean, if you're talking about old generation immigrants and so on and so forth, I mean, they seem to have this stereotype about black people and crime and things like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think to some extent Latino, but I think
they're just like they're dangerous. That's kind of their.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
They're coming from. But I think the problem with a lot of them, they watch so much American TV and television shows, and oftentimes the criminal thing to be those ethnic groups.
Yeah.
So they already have this notion about that group.
And then they...
Even before visiting the United States.
Sure.
So that's really, really unfair. But I think with my family, because one of my closest friends are black, and I just spent time with him for Thanksgiving, and I think the thing that I noticed with my family, I think me just being associated with them...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for some reason, it's an embarrassing thing for them, you know?
Really?
Yeah, which is weird because...
It is sad.
That's how they think, because my family, if anything, is very dysfunctional and there's a lot of problem with my family. But my friend's family, Patton's, my friends that I've been known for 1982, you know, one is vice president at Fujitsu, another one's a dean at the Purdue. You know, Fred's a very successful computer programmer, and their cousins are all doctors, right? We were in Los Altos, really fancy place in San Jose, and this house must be $4 or $5 million house, and they're all successful black family. I'm the only Asian person there, and I spent Thanksgiving weekend with them.
Did this?
Yeah, over the weekend, and they're all successful, very religious, very respectful.
Wait a minute, is this the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air family?
Seems like it, because my friend Fred's cousin's husband, they're both doctors.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture of him with President Obama and things like that. It's that they're that successful,
oh
right? Right? So
Jesus, I mean the Huxtables.
Yeah. So I'm having Thanksgiving dinner with him. Very nice. I think one of the grandmothers, she just said, boy, I wish Mr. Mitt Romney could see us 47%. Aww. You know, it's kind of tease, but yeah. There's a lot of that stereotype about every race.
And, sure.
Can I tell you what I encountered dating mm-hmm. a Chinese man for 4 years is that one thing, his family, I always felt a little bit of an outsider, okay, in a Chinese family. And one thing that I didn't like is that when we would go to Chinese restaurants and yeah. I'd be like the only white person there.
Yeah.
And I would want to show affection to him, like put my arm around him yeah. or hold hands or like kiss on the cheek. And I'm not talking like macking down, dude. Just like a standard affection.
Yeah.
Let me guess. He tried to stop you or didn't want you to do it.
Right. Yeah. It was always like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, but fuck you. We're not in China. This isn't Taiwan anymore. This is America. Yeah. We're in El Monte or Monterey Park or whatever. But why can't I show affection? And that always bummed me out. And that made me sad. Is that something you guys do? What's with the affection thing?
That we don't show affections?
In public, yeah. Like even so much as, you know, holding hands or just very innocent. It wasn't lascivious.
No. It's not like they're not raising question about you, your character or anything like that. It's just, I don't know why. They just don't do that, you know.
That's across the board, Asian style?
He was Taiwanese.
If they're a traditional Asian family, then that's just not really done. You know, Japanese, no way. No.
Right?
Did you know that James Dean is still a huge iconic figure in Japan?
Really?
Huge, because one of the movies that he did, East of Eden, John Steinbeck, it's a story. It has a lot of biblical, obviously, references. Yeah, yeah. But you have two sons, one perfect, one other son.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what he does, it's just never good enough. And most Japanese men identify with James Dean's character. Oh. So to this day, you know, here's this guy. No matter what he does, he just doesn't.
They identify with that because they're not good enough in their own family.
The James Dean's character, he's got an older brother. Older brother's just perfect in the eye of
that.
But most Japanese men, whether they're men or not, they could really identify with that character because we just don't have that kind of connection with fathers. It's just not, I don't know, it's just, they should be more encouraged.
Can I tell you that? The guy I dated, mm-hmm. he too had this thing with his father. Yeah. It was always seeking the approval of daddy. Yeah. So, you know, he tried to be very successful and to mm-hmm. make a lot of money. And maybe if he made enough money, mm-hmm. he could take care of the family and that would redeem him with his father.
Yeah.
His father was a very big, the filial piety thing. And then his mom would call him at like midnight, like, oh, come over and help me with the VCR. And he would do it.
He would?
He would drive to fucking Monterey Park or Alhambra is where she lived, and help her with the VCR.
At midnight.
And it's like, dude, no. You tell her tomorrow is, or whenever, right. I can.
Yeah, that's just normal.
Stuff was weird. I mean, that's normal Asian stuff, right?
Within the Asian thing's normal. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
So if your mom calls, you got to go over and do
it. Well, I'm very, very different. I mean, I don't get along with my family.
Yeah.
I don't get along.
Yeah,
listen, let's be honest. I'm not. I'm 6'1". I'm not really typical.
No.
I have that big, healthy hog between your legs. Too.
Yeah,
that's not typical.
I haven't spoke with my mom in 9 years, and I don't get along with my family.
Really, I don't speak to my mother either. It's been about 2 or 3 years with me. 3 years, maybe.
I just don't. I have a very strong personality, and. I'm not very good with forgiving people, and when I have a grudge with somebody, I just don't let it go. And I'm pretty big on revenge and getting back with people. Yeah,
I love that. What's your biggest revenge? Yeah, what have you?
Did I talk about my
you're like Kill Bill? Like you're gonna avenge?
Did I talk to you about my stepmother thing last time I was here?
No.
Not that I recall.
Make the story short. This is August of 2003. My dad passed away, and he.
Did you get along with him?
Yeah, but, you know, my dad doesn't show a lot of affection and things like that.
Because
he wanted to, but he just don't know how.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard. this is kind of a really weird analogy.
No, it's a...
You know, when guys are perverted, mm-hmm. so whatever you're into, Tom, mm-hmm. and whatever I'm into, let's say you're into something that I'm not into. Yeah. I think you're weird, and whatever I'm into, you think I'm weird.
Right.
But whatever we're into, it's just not dependent on you know, you don't need my approval any more than you need my approval.
Right.
With women, it's interesting because women always talk to their girlfriends and say, yeah, you know, I'm into this or whatever. They almost need to have
some
approval from the colleague.
They're checking.
Right.
They're checking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why did I give that example? There was a reason.
Talking about your dad?
And your stepmom.
Your stepmom. Your father passed away. He didn't give affection.
Yeah, he passed away, and I had a reason.
He didn't give affection, and you said it's because...
Yeah, and I think... Okay, that's it. So, only way it'll be easier for, let's say, Japanese men to give affection to their kids, if they start feeling like, I don't know, just almost like... If other Japanese men, like everybody else, start doing it, it's really hard for them to stick out and do something that most other people don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. The way that women need to validate.
No, it's just the most Japanese people won't do it unless they feel like it's consensus among everyone else. That's the normal thing to do.
Right, because they don't want to stand out as abnormal.
No.
That's a big thing in Asian culture is to blend.
You don't want to stick out?
Yeah, it's very big to fit in. Now, you obviously, Yoshi, though... Mm-hmm. Have chosen to go the opposite direction. I wouldn't say that you fit in. Like, you're not big at that. So how did this come to be that you...
Well, wait, where's the stepmom tying in?
Sorry. I sidetracked.
So so I got an email from one of my cousins August of 2003, and in a broken English, he said my dad passed away, and... you know, I don't know why they can call me, but they just sent me an email. Then
a terrible email again.
Yeah,
in an email.
Jesus Christ!
You read an email that said your dad died,
and it was really poorly. I mean, who am I to criticize people's English? But it says like "Papa dead," something like that, right?
Oh, so shit. My God, I'm sorry.
So I kind of
that's terrible.
Not even dear Yoshi, no, Papa dead. So that was it.
Oh no. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's fine. It is funny.
It's fucked up, man.
It's fucked. No, but do you understand? They weren't trying to be fucked up.
Right.
They don't know. They just...
I know.
That's the best English they could do.
And but, they couldn't do...
They didn't have Google Translate back then.
And
I
they couldn't
think.
Do a call. Aww.
I don't know. Maybe you know, my relatives, they don't call overseas enough. Yeah. It's complicated.
No,
so
that's fine. Okay. Yeah, so Papa, you get the notification. Dad. Your dad's passed away.
So I flew back. And then I get all this information, like my stepmother was cheating on my dad.
Oh, boy.
Before marriage, during marriage. And my dad was not a strong guy, you know, emotionally. And then I hear all the stories, like, God, this is terrible. One time, my cousin told me she tried to poison my dad.
Okay.
So they had a food, and... my dad got sick, but they took the food sample that she brought from Korea, mm-hmm. and they checked it. There was like poison or whatever, something that was not, you know.
Really?
No, this is, my dad would never tell me any of this stuff because 6 months before he died, I got in a big fight with him. And I hate it because that was the last conversation I had with him. But he would never tell me all these horrible things she was doing to him. Oh. She told my dad one time, early on, her cousin was visiting from Korea to Japan, and she was staying with him. So my dad would go work, his cousin stayed, and the whole time he didn't know, it was just my stepmother's lover. So he was fucking my stepmother when my dad went to work.
Jesus, man.
You know.
She sounds like a real psycho, man.
What a piece of shit, yeah.
Piece of shit, and my family wouldn't tell me this until he passed away. I was really angry with him, like, why do you tell me... Why didn't you tell me a few years earlier? You know,
because
so in Asia, when somebody dies, you have to have X amount of time period. You wait until you finally bury them away. Mm-hmm. You know, cremation, whatever. So I flew in once. I saw her, but I couldn't really do anything because there's a bunch of people around. That was early August, and then late August when I flew back for second time at the funeral. It's on top of mountains. It makes the story short. I was able to corner her by herself, and I guess she didn't know anything about me because she just figured probably I'm just like my dad, like not into conflict and
right,
things like
confrontation.
That. Yeah. So she was on top of the mountain by my dad's cemetery thing, and I beat the shit out of her. You know?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Badly?
I was kicking inside of her head.
Oh my god.
Her eye almost popped out.
Really?
Yeah. Only reason I stopped is because I heard some people working cemetery scream really loud. But I ran up to her because so there's a big parking lot where there's a bunch of cars. All my relatives and her relatives were there.
Yeah.
Way up in the stairs, like two levels of stairs. There's cemetery here, stairs, bunch of cemetery up here inside of the mountains.
Yeah.
When I got to my dad's place with my aunt. We were bringing fruit and things like that, the stuff that my dad liked. And my aunt saw her and just lost it. You fucking killed my brother. I hope you'll be burning in hell. And she was just upset, left. It was just me and her. It was completely uncomfortable silence. And I just started running over and grabbed her head and started, you know, punching her face. Yeah. So I punched her face for a while. Then I got her on the ground and start stomping her and kicking her between her legs and just stomping her stuff. And then tail end of it, I was stomping her head for a while. And then...
Was she even conscious at this point or no?
I'm not really sure. I mean, what was so surprising about the whole thing was she didn't make any sounds at all.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I think she was just shocked.
Yeah, I would say.
I was a little surprised too because I didn't really plan to do that. I was angry flying back second time around for my dad's funeral.
But it just like it was an impulsive thing that happened.
Yeah. I just
how bad? I mean, when you stopped, did she just stay there laying?
She didn't move. I mean,
is she dead now?
No, she was in the hospital in like 3 months or something like that.
You put her in the hospital for 3 months?
2 or 3 months.
So you really savagely beat her. Wow.
And I don't have. When these guys said, I shouldn't be laughing, but when these guys said, like, I will never hit a woman, like, to me, if anyone give you any reason good enough
to hit them,
gender is not an issue with me.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't randomly go hit women and stuff. I don't do that. But she was beyond the pale what she did.
Well, she tried to kill your dad.
Tried to. Now, do you think that she really killed her father? Do you think that she was responsible for his death?
Well, this is what I found out. One of my cousin's wife. From Korea, you know, we're in Japan, but we're ethnically Koreans. But so my cousin's wife's brothers, it's Korean version of FBI. Uh-huh. So what they did for me was because she, you know, last time one of my cousins saw my dad alive, the day before last time they saw him alive, mm-hmm. My cousin's wife's brother, who is like FBI in Korea. He did some search for us, and we found out my aunt, my stepmother, flew back to Japan day before. But when we talked to her, she said she was in Korea the whole time.
So she did.
No. All I'm saying is she lied about flying there. I'm not necessarily saying she physically has something to do with it. But I believe.
What was his cause of death?
It was. So I went to the police station. He was hanging from ceiling for a while.
Oh wow.
It was summertime, and in a couple of podcasts, I already talked about it. He was so dark, you know. I just said the N word. He looked like Tyrone. I mean, he didn't look Asian person anymore. He was so black from the deterioration, and because summertime in Japan is pretty fucking hot.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to police station, see your father like that, you know. I didn't have a perfect relationship with my dad, but I love my dad.
Sure.
He had a hard time showing affection, and no matter how imperfect he was, he always did the best he could.
Yeah.
You know? And for her to do that to him, and she left shitload of debt, and what's so ironic, she's still getting Social Security for my dad's death. Yeah. So she's, you know,
Can I ask you this? Mm-hmm. Did you get, I mean, after you, like, you know, beat her, did you run out of the country? Were there any repercussions or anything like that?
I ran the fuck out of there. But when I went down the stairs, I saw her nephew or something. I just ran up and sucker punched him.
You hit him too?
Yeah. I hit 4 people.
Jeez.
That's why I haven't gone back to Japan since 2003.
I mean, are they looking for you?
Supposedly, but I always laugh when people threaten me.
Yeah.
Because you do or you don't. I just don't take anyone serious. I don't mean any disrespect by saying this, but anybody who would threaten other people, that's just something that women would do in my culture.
Yeah.
That's why we bombed Pearl Harbor. We didn't say, if you don't do this, you're going to, you know what I mean? They just bombed Pearl Harbor because that's how we think. So anyone who threatened me, I just don't take them serious. I just don't have respect for you. Yeah. I have respect if you come and did something. Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I heard words from them. They were going to do something. I go ahead, you know.
But you have no, like, you didn't get, did you get on a flight immediately?
After I beat him up with, what is that thing, that cup holder for water thing at the Buddhist temple, I grabbed and beat him over the head with that.
You beat someone in the head with that?
Then nephew. Then I went down the parking lot and saw my stepmother's sister and brother-in-law. I sucker punched them, hit both of them. Then my family got in, separated me, and then my cousin took me out of there. And he didn't know what to do, but after a while, when I got my cool back, I just told him to take me to the airport. He wasn't sure if he should do that, so...
But you...
I threatened him if he didn't take him to the airport.
Yeah.
So he took me.
I thought
threats aren't good to do.
Well, he kind of made good on a few of them. I wouldn't fuck with Yoshi at that point.
Is this...
So I left.
Yeah.
2003. I haven't been back since. So I could fly into Japan. Whether I could get out of it, that's another issue.
So you're probably just going to stay away.
Until if I hear her dead, then maybe I'll go back.
Yeah.
But I mean, I kind of look, I never advocate violence to anybody.
Yeah.
I think it sucks to be, I've been in physical fights before in junior high school and it sucks, but I can kind of understand the rage of some woman coming into your family who doesn't belong there and actively hurting your dad.
May I also tell you something? When they got married, she was single mother, had two kids. She didn't know what to do. She was early 40, 41, 42. My dad is a very shy guy. So, yes, he needed somebody because he doesn't like being lonely. But he got her out of there, took care of the two kids. No matter how imperfect he might have been, he did that for her.
Yeah.
For her to have an affair the whole fucking time.
That's terrible.
You know, so do I regret it? I regret that she's alive. I wish I would have killed her. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Only thing would have bothered me if I killed her is if I got into jail. But that's the only thing. I don't feel regret one day at all. My family's, my father's side, I'm sure they feel ashamed because that's not how you behave. But I'm one of those guys. I just can't live with somebody doing something like that, just thinking like it's okay. It's not okay.
No, it's not.
It's not a practical thing because I don't talk to my mom and some of my family members are angry with me because I really take hard line about that stuff.
Was your mom at this funeral too? Or
No. I don't want to talk about why I don't talk to my mom. But
that's fine.
But I take hard line with some things and I'm just angry with her. So,
you know, but sometimes revenge feels good.
Yeah.
And I know that therapists and psychologists will say, well, but it only hurts you to hate somebody else. Not really, because sometimes... if you fuck with somebody because they fuck with you, it feels right.
Yeah.
And it kind of corrects the wrong sometimes.
And I think that is especially true when you're seeking that revenge is from something with your family.
Hell yeah.
Because then afterwards, there is no regret. You don't feel guilt
right,
and stuff
right.
Because it's like, you know, if you fuck with my parents, my siblings, my spouse, my kids, like, you're never going to feel bad about taking a shot back at somebody.
Yeah, I'll fucking murder you
man.
If you come in.
That's your family.
My family.
I don't have any problem with that.
Did you see that clip? There's a very famous clip on YouTube. This father was hiding and his son was molested by this.
I've seen it.
Yeah. So the guys
at the airport.
The guy's walking at the airport. And, you know, to me, that's even worse. If I had a son and somebody did that to me, but just the fucking rage that you had and you're waiting.
You seen it?
No, but if someone molested my kid,
he shoots him.
I would fucking murder them without even thinking twice.
And you know what? He was not like fully prosecuted by the lady.
Well, yeah, it's a crime of passion.
Yeah,
I think people understand like...
Yeah.
The rage you would have.
You know, I know the right and wrong. What I did wasn't right. You know, I should be better than that. But I just know myself enough. That's the route I usually always take.
Yeah.
But I commend that father because he shot him. He dropped a gun. He didn't give a shit if he would have gone for jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He just couldn't live with somebody doing that to his son. Yeah.
It's a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Well, it's a famous... It was because there was there was news cameras there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so the clip.
He's literally walking out of an airport.
Yeah.
And the guy is standing by the telephone thing. He turned around and just shot him in the head.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. You should be able, that should be legal
to
kill the molesters.
I don't know. I think this might be weird, but I think I have audio from when you fought your stepmom.
Oh, no.
I think I do. I'm not sure. Mm. It feels...
That'll be pretty crazy.
I think I do. Hmm.
If what you say is true, the Shaolin and the Wu-Tang could be dangerous. Yes, my lord. We saw them practicing with each other. Their kung fu was first class.
Now that's you or her.
Shaolin shadow boxing and the Wu-Tang sword style.
Yeah.
If only...
That looks like you. Interesting.
They all look like me. What are you talking about, Tom? I can't even tell the difference.
Thank you, my lord.
Wow.
A handsome sword. Do you think your Wu-Tang sword can defeat me?
Whoa. So that was... Wow. Bet you didn't expect that. Makes you feel weird.
Yeah, and...
Mm-hmm. Now, look, I got to get to this because there's a lot we have to cover.
Right.
And that's a crazy fucking story that I did not expect. But.
Well, I'm surprised I thought I told you before.
No. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll get some feedback on that.
Yeah.
But you.
I'm not a tough guy either.
No, you're a sweet guy. I don't think you're. Oh, sorry. You and your stepmom.
I came here tonight to play chess. Nobody ever mentioned anything about a sword fight.
Oh, that's all your stepmom wants, a little chess game.
Kung fu fighting.
So, okay. I don't know the best way to introduce this. You mentioned on the last appearance on our podcast that you worked for a very well-known adult company.
Yeah.
We can say the name, obviously.
Evil
right?
Angel.
Evil Angel. And you had a less than desirable falling out. And we didn't really get to go into the details.
Yeah.
But, you know, this whole... We want to get to that. We also want to get to some of your traveling and all this stuff. But tell me if you can, because you even brought a little guidebook.
A visual aid,
if you were. A chart to help explain it. Tell me what happened... why, you know, you worked there, Evil Angel, a long time.
A little over 9 years.
That's a long run.
That's a career.
Why, what happened? Why did it fall apart? What happened there?
Okay, so it was Valentine's Day, February 14th this year.
Of 2012?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're working there?
Still. I'm working there.
What's your job there, just so we can...
So, you know, I say DVD producer, editor, that's really fancy way of saying... Basically, what I do is I make a blueprint of what the DVD should look like. Mm-hmm. So unlike traditional Hollywood movies, you know, in Hollywood movies, when you're watching, I don't know, Jurassic Park, whatever it is.
Okay.
There's chapter points throughout the movie. When
talking about DVDs.
DVDs.
But we're at VHS, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
When there's... I put chapter... You have chapter point for when the story changes from transition. Like
right.
You mean after the blow a load... Chapter
well,
one.
In porno.
In traditional movies, it's like...
Chapter one for all the credit shows.
Right.
And you know, when
the race car scene. And
I
then
got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Bar, so right.
Yeah. But in porno, you put chapter points. I put chapter points to make convenient point for the masturbate to masturbate. It's not based on... it's not based on what...
What story point.
Going, no. Yeah.
So give me any... Like, how would it break down?
Okay, let's say a girl walks in, chapter one. Mm-hmm. She undresses, started giving the guy a blowjob, another chapter point.
So the person can go straight to the blowjob.
Yeah.
Right, that's the convenience of it. And then?
And then, you know, she changed a different position here and there.
That's another chapter point.
Chapter point.
Okay.
And the guy takes clothes off and start vaginal penetration.
And then pop
shot. Anal and pop shot, things like that.
Gotcha.
Depends on the scenes. So I have to sit there as a guy... I'm trying to anticipate where does masturbators want, because the last few seconds before they come, maybe they just want to pop to different spots and get more visual before he pops.
Right.
So that's what I did.
God.
In addition to
good work you did, man.
That is amazing. Very. Yeah.
Admirable work.
So chapter point, motion, menu, picture. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to recommend music, behind the scene, trailers, additional bonus scenes.
No, sorry, wait. Just would you actually masturbate to the movies to figure out what your consumer is looking at. You understand? Like, did you really...
Or just think like a masturbator.
You just thought like a masturbator.
You know, one of the worst things about working in adult business, it takes that fun out of it.
I bet.
I've seen so many movies.
Well, an Evil Angel is not your run-of-the-mill pornography.
No.
It is, you know, put the girl's head in the toilet bowl, flush it, baseball bats in your asshole. A step on her head. It's very aggressive, I would say. It's tough for me to watch. And I like pornography just like any other gal. But that was a lot tougher for
me. Can I ask you this?
The comedy version will be guys like, it's like the Doug Stanhope of porn, Jim Norton of porn.
Is Evil Angel.
Oh, I got it.
There's really edgy stuff there.
Right, hardcore.
David Hills, you know what I mean? There's,
right.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a sidebar before you get back to this? You, with all the time you spent working in the adult business and for this company. And I know, you know, you're a very red-blooded Asian American.
Yeah.
Did you ever hook up with these porno girls? Did you ever hook up with one? You don't have to give us details or names. I'm just asking.
Couple.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a little side action.
Hey, and what's that like? Are they better in bed because they have sex on camera? Or is it, you know what I mean? Like, is it a performance for them as well off camera?
I'm more always intimidated by them because I've seen the guys they've been with.
Like, yeah.
What am I going to do?
You know?
And
that's
always scary. But the ones I've been with, they're very friendly and they didn't make big stink about that.
Was it a like unexpected? Like it just kind of happened, or did you go out on like a formal kind of date and then it led to that?
It just kind of happened. I was surprised.
Like you were hanging out and then ended up hooking up. So, but were they exceptional, like she said?
Or? Yeah, were they better than like a normal girl? Because they're
I heard from a girl one time, a friend of a friend had broken up with somebody.
Yeah.
And the guy had a friend who was a male performer.
Yeah.
And she ended up hooking up with him at her place because the male performer was like at the friend's place.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said it was like being serviced by a professional.
Yeah.
Because the guy has sex for a living. So she was like, it was exceptional sex because...
It's like having professional movers come as opposed to your dopey friends lifting up your furniture and breaking everything.
Perfect analogy, my
jeans. You're welcome.
So
would you say it was like that?
Was this female or the females that you hooked up with, were they exceptional? Or was it just like standard good sex, you know?
I think exceptional.
You do think so?
Yeah.
Okay. So you look back on
Well, we went to see that movie. What was that movie? The guy who played Borat. He made him.
Sasha
Dictator?
Oh, yeah.
We went to see that movie, and she started giving me blowjob Arclight.
At the Arclight Theater?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was a little nervous because I don't do that kind of stuff all the time, but she didn't give a shit, you know?
Yeah. And you're like... In the theater?
In the theater.
And people are all around you?
I mean, we sit way in back. Yeah. I always like sitting back, way in the back.
Yeah.
You know, because remember that shooting in Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be in the back. So we were only one in the back. There's maybe two rows down, there's a couple of people. It was empty, you know.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
But I was still nervous. That kind of stuff makes me uncomfortable. She didn't give a shit. She didn't care if she got cut, blah, blah, blah.
Young girl?
Yeah, she's 23.
That's
pretty old.
Yeah. It's pretty old. Porn years.
So you start getting a blowjob in the theater.
Yeah.
And then, this is recent, because that movie was out earlier this year, right?
I think that was 6-7 months ago, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that with my dad.
And then, did you give
Arclight. That's so funny. Yeah, you were behind us, I thought.
And then it went on from there? You went home and took care of business?
Yeah, I mean, she just did everything, you know?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I don't know. I mean, first or second day, do girls usually like take shot in their mouth and stuff?
Good ones do. Yeah. Good ones do.
I'm not used to that sort of thing.
You blew a load in her mouth?
Yeah, she was cool with it.
In the theater?
No, at the house.
No, at home, 2 days, two dates in. 2 dates in or first date?
I mean, I don't know if it's dates. We were hanging out.
Did you get to do it again?
Yeah, a couple more times.
Good for you, man.
Oh.
No, but she's a very nice girl. And
she's a performer.
Yeah, but I didn't even put like pressure on her. She was like really cool because she
What about on her neck? You didn't squeeze at all or anything?
It was just in the mouth. All right. And she didn't care.
Okay. So this is fantastic. And I'm glad
but,
to hear
you know, it's a stress for me because I'm 43, you know.
And are you really?
Oh my
and
God.
And I don't even know I've seen her in movies like, what am I going to do? It's like me playing basketball against a 20-year-old kid. I'm not going to do nothing.
Yeah.
Hey, did you wear a condom with them?
No.
Okay.
Really?
Mm-mm. Wow.
Is this what she sounded like? Are they very dramatic? That's what I kind of mean. Is there a lot of theatrics?
No, she didn't
like,
do that.
A lot of like, you're the nanny. Like there's juice, juice, juice. Like a lot of that. No.
I think in the movies, everybody knows it's a performance.
Yeah, yeah. You know? They play it up more.
Yeah. Good male performer usually could look a girl. You know, like farmers putting their hands in the ground and read the ground. They understand the land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They could figure out what they were working with.
Yeah.
I think good male performer could look at the girl and know and just talk to her or figure out intuitively what she's into and not to. She's into and just work with what she wants and good at, you know, instead of forcing her to do things that she doesn't want to do.
Sure.
So I think the good male performer is cognizant of that.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm told that a lot about myself. That's good. Interesting. Well,
you're an intuitive lover, Tom.
I think so.
I think so too.
I mean, I made very intuitive. A lot of girls have fun.
All right. That. All right.
I know that a lot of my girls
I got it. I get
fans.
It.
Now, back to this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, you're working at Evil Angel.
Yeah.
You're doing the DVD chapters.
Yes.
Sorry. Hold on. Let me fix this. Sorry about that.
What are you fixing? It sounds exactly the same.
I didn't want to change it.
Ask him the fucking question. I'm dying.
So I want to know.
Yeah.
Everything's going pretty smoothly. We're whatever. You're working there for a while. I'll rephrase that. You're working there.
It's Valentine's Day.
What happens Valentine's Day?
Okay. So a couple of days before, that was Tuesday, Valentine's Day, February 14th. A couple of days before, Russell Peters, good friend of our good friend.
Yes.
Performing at the Irvine Improv. And so I invited
He's all, thank you, come again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Packed.
Mm-hmm.
So I invited Asa Akira, Asian superstar, porn star, very good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. She's hosting AVN this year, next year, in January.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesse Andrews, another superstar.
The Asa Akira has a very popular Twitter feed.
Yes, it's huge.
Yeah,
they're good friends of mine. Jesse Andrews showed up, another superstar showed up. So we got them tickets and, you know, they were great.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what happened. One of the director, Kevin Moore, walks up to our department. We were talking for a little bit. And he said, hey, I saw the picture with you and Jesse Andrews and Asa Akira. How come you didn't invite me and my wife?
Mm-hmm.
And his wife is half Pakistani, half Saudi Arabian porn star. Very unusual.
Really?
Yeah, very unusual. Her name is Shazia something.
So the guy works at the company.
He's one of the directors.
One of the directors.
Mm-hmm.
And
here's the flow chart.
Yeah,
the flow chart. Thank you.
So
okay.
So that's him, Kevin Moore.
Okay.
And this is his wife, Shazia, right here.
Shazia is a porn star.
Yes.
So he goes, why didn't you invite the two of us?
No, Shaz in German means shit.
Oh, interesting.
Shaz.
This is Shazia.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's shitty.
Shitty.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to make fun of her because for all I know, she had nothing to do with it.
No, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just...
I had a problem with him and a couple other people. So
tell us what happened.
So he asked me a couple of tickets and he said something like, why didn't you give us a ticket?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him like, well, just because your wife is brown, I don't assume that she's into Russell Peters, which she is, but I didn't know that.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So I said, well, let me ask him for tickets. I can't just promise somebody expensive Russell Peter tickets without permission. So I text Russell, and a couple hours later, I get a text from him saying, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up texting his wife because I didn't have Kevin's number. And why didn't I have a Kevin's number? Well, you see this picture down here with John Lizzery right here?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Somebody I respect a lot. He's one of Evil Angel's director. He passed away like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, the day he passed away is the same day, I believe, Russell Peters' kid was born. It was really weird.
It's very interesting.
No, I'm sorry. The day she was born, it was a day of John Lizzery's memorial.
Aww.
Okay. So this is what happened. Kevin used to work for John Lizzery,
mm-hmm.
And Kevin considered him like almost like a father figure, and Kevin was a prodigy, and they worked with each other.
Okay.
And I'll be honest with you, even though I don't like Kevin now, he gave a very moving speech at John Leslie's memorial.
Uh-huh.
So this is where I got angry with him. So when John Leslie passed away, he still had three or four movies needed to be edited.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin was nice enough to volunteer and decide to edit those movies for John Leslie's widow.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is he asked my coworker, my ex-coworker and friend, to edit that movie for $500, which is, you know, whatever. But
which
Kevin
is,
received,
which is what, like a really low rate?
Well, Kevin received $1,500 from John Leslie's widow to edit that movie,
and he
pocketed that $1,000.
Oh,
now, did he do anything illegal? No, absolutely not.
Tacky, though.
It's not, but she's only got three or four movies left. He's passed away. I don't know what their finances are. When I heard this, it fucking infuriated me. How could you go up on stage and say that you respect this person like your father? And John Leslie's wife loved his wife, and I'm sure, I'm not religious by any means, but yeah. I'm sure he would like to see people taking care of her, right? So to me, this is not something that he helped her with. He just helped himself.
Right, yes. Right, right.
And I think that's a fucking scumbag move. I mean, just, I mean, God forbid something happened to you, and I ended up with running a comedy club or something,
yeah.
And I hire you,
right.
But you're all... $2,500, but I only offer you $1,000 or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of helping her, but that's right. Not cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just it's don't fucking not... do that.
Right.
So when I heard that, I didn't want to fucking talk to him, so I erased his number.
Mm-hmm.
But within a year later, I did hear a funny story about John Lee's wife. Maybe I was being a little harsh, so I tried to talk to Kevin and stuff like that. So anyway, that day when he asked for tickets, I didn't have his number. Only thing I had was access to his wife, Shazia.
Mm-hmm.
So I just texted her about a couple of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the gist of my firing. They said that...
What?
Hold on.
They said I violated her privacy, so therefore I need to get fired. So they fired me.
Oh, like you're contacting the performer directly? Like it's kind of not cool?
That's what they're saying.
They said, wait a minute. So just to make sure that this is clear.
Yeah.
So...
I text her saying... Right. I have,
after he's asked you for tickets.
Yes.
You text his wife... I got tickets for you.
I work for Evil Angel. I do a lot of work for Russell Peters. I have the copy of it if you need to look at it later.
No, I don't need to see it.
And I say, Kevin, see, you want a couple of tickets? Just let me know which dates in Chicago. I'll take care of it. And that was a gist of what they said. I violated her privacy. Even though she texted me back next day saying, I would love to have those tickets and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay.
Stupid.
So obviously, the next thing that happens in this storyline is that you're notified that you're fired?
I got fired 2 days later, but a day before me getting fired...
Mm-hmm. Pull out the Gambino crime family map.
So...
He's got flow charts.
This is amazing. We're going to put
pictures,
this on.
So,
this
yeah,
is amazing.
Ridiculously funny.
You know what it comes down to? I'll tell you who did what. But eventually, the gist of it, if you want to get it, like
but,
cliff notes, whatever. But the general manager been trying to fire me for a long time.
Okay.
He found an excuse.
That's the loophole, yes.
And he got me fired.
So who notifies you that you're fired? Do you have that on the chart?
Christian Mann, but...
this
was,
guy here.
Yeah,
okay.
But that's 2 days later.
Oh, that's the guy who looks like the situation.
Yeah.
From Jersey Shore.
But Kevin, I think 3 or 4 hours after I text him, I text his wife, he texts me and said, you contact my wife? You know, it was just like a fake anger. It's a fake anger now.
So why did he pretend to be upset? I don't understand why he's pretending to be upset.
Because they want
to
get rid of him.
Right, but so he wanted to get rid of you too?
Okay, so he got the gig because of... good grace of Christian Mann and the guy who called Adam Grayson, who's head of the internet department right here, which I have picked. I don't have his picture.
But you do have...
I have a bag of 30 silver pieces because he's a fucking backstabber.
Okay.
And then...
And then you also have an arrow going to someone who's supposed to be his wife?
Yes. And picture of Anne Frank.
Anne
because
Frank.
She's Jewish. I don't have a picture of both of them. So that's what I use.
That's who you chose. Okay.
Yes. There's a reason why I mentioned her too, but I'll tell you later.
Okay.
So... you know, 2 weeks later, I was able to talk to John Stellion, the owner of the company. He even told me he doesn't like Kevin Moore, and he doesn't like his movie. He also didn't like what he did to John Leslie's wife. He didn't like that.
Right.
But Christian Mann and Adam Grayson are two sleazeballs. They're able to convince John to hire Kevin, while they were also able to convince John to fire me too.
Right.
Because they would save $40,000 and have other people do more work for no pay raise.
Right.
They're always looking way to get rid of you. And believe me, no one owes me a job.
Right.
No one owes me a job. I understand people get fired. It's not a problem. I'm not an idiot. Yeah. DVD sales are dropping. If they were just simply say, I don't like you, and the DVD sales are going down, I would have been fine.
Right.
But character assassination, saying stuff about me that is not true, and make up lies, withholding information, lying to me. As you know, I don't really do well with people doing that kind of stuff. So
no, sometimes they end up in a hospital.
I fucking took it pretty hard.
Right.
So
so let's go. Mm-hmm. Okay, from here. So just so we know that they want to get rid of you, so they let you know you're fired. Now, at this point, is this when you write a letter to the owner, John?
No. Because when I got okay, so that was Tuesday when I wrote that text on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and Thursday afternoon I got fired.
Right, surprise, right? You're surprised. Like totally surprised.
Because day before, this girl Sarah West, she's my supervisor, ex-supervisor. She told me day before I got fired. She just said during the meeting, John Stagliano, who owns the company, say, "Well, tell Yoshi don't do it again." So I thought, oh, everything's okay. When I show up first thing Thursday morning, they told me to come to his office, and he just basically told me, it's out of his control. You know, John's upset, blah, blah, blah. You're mm-hmm. fired. Mm-hmm. I find out later on, John didn't know the whole story. Mm-hmm. He withheld information from John, and he was trying to get rid of me the whole time. Because a bunch of other people who worked there for a long time, way even longer than Christian Mann, told me at the time, like, yeah, he's just trying to get rid of you. He's just looking for a reason to fire you. It has nothing to do with what you did.
Who was looking to get rid of you?
Christian Mann.
Okay.
But I didn't want to just think just because I'm getting fired, I can't just assume I'm the boohoo victim. I didn't have enough information. You know, I have to find out what happened, you know. So I was upset because it's one of those jobs where I spend a lot of time with my friends. It's a fun job hanging out with your friend,
mm-hmm.
and that's that. So all my friends in DVD department were shocked. But I'm not going to cry and beg for a job, you know, so I left. It took me about 2 weeks to gather all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And then the general manager before Christian Mann, I talked to him. And he said, let me talk to John and see what's going on. And the former general was able to make a meeting with myself and John Stagliano and my roommate, who also happened to be John's friend.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a mediator between the two.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to get my job back. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about losing job. This is a part of life.
Yeah.
I just didn't like people were saying things like, I was contacting porn girls, asking for sexual favor or dating.
Yeah.
It's just far from truth.
But this is a typical show business thing,
mm-hmm.
where they want somebody doesn't like you up there.
Yeah.
Okay. And instead of just coming to you and being like, you know what? We don't like you. We don't want to pay you what you're worth. We're going to get rid of you.
Yeah.
They do fabricate these stories and create emotional drama. This is typical fucking show business.
Yeah.
Hand jobbing 101. So, it sucks. I'm just saying it's happened to me too. It fucking sucks. You're like, really? What did I? I don't even know what I did.
It's really weird in the show business because you're always worried about offending anybody because they could potentially hurt you down the road.
Right.
But for me, I don't give a fuck about ever working porn. I don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, right? I don't really give a shit. Truth is the ultimate defense against slander and libel. I don't give a shit. And it's just so stupid on their part the way they handle it because you don't have to go to Harvard Business School to know that firing people is a delicate thing outside of show business, you know? You really have to be careful when you accuse some people of something.
Sure.
And when too many people lie, eventually all the information will get back to me, which it has.
So what happened to this meeting, though, you were talking about? You said they called for a meeting with your roommate, like that, or whatever, as a mediator.
So I keep hearing all these ugly rumors, but these fuckers who ended up being responsible for my firing. And I didn't like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stuff really tarnishes. You could call me asshole, this and that. I don't really care about that. But
Ching Chong.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Right.
Long duck.
It does not bother me.
Yeah.
But when I start hearing this shit about me calling girls and harassing them, like, you motherfucker.
Yeah, because you know it's fucking it's a shitty thing to say.
So my former general manager before Christian Mann made the meeting available. My friend Dave, who also happened to be John's friend, showed up and we talked. And I made it clear to John, I'm not trying to get my job back. I don't care about that. But first thing I asked him was, what did they say to you, John? Right? So this is what happened. So you have Adam Grayson, head of the internet department, Christian Mann, general manager. They both told John Stagliano that I set up Kevin Moore's wife to get fucked by Russell Peters for a couple of tickets.
What?
I laughed for a second because I thought he was joking.
Yeah.
He wasn't joking. Like,
what?
These two motherfuckers. You know how sensitive about my dad, wife cheating on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't even sit. Why would I fucking sit anybody's wife with a couple of fucking tickets? Yeah. Like Russell Peters needed a fucking help.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
What is it, 15? I mean, I'm obviously money is not everything, but women are always throwing themselves at him after the show.
Of course.
He doesn't need my fucking help.
Yeah, of course.
I told John, are you fucking kidding me? Excuse me? And John believed that bullshit.
He believed that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wrote him all the letter with all the shit that they were doing, Evil Angel.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he immediately offered me a job through that email. But by then it was like a week and a half later, I already started moving out of there. You know, because I knew I didn't have any money, and my friend in New York offered me to place for a stay, and I already made all this plan. I already moved all my shit to Phoenix and Vegas where my friends live.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I got my job back, I really don't want to go through the emotional turmoil, like getting all that shit back, get back, you know what I mean? And then he tells me this guy, these two guys saying that I set up somebody's wife. I already know, I work for this fishing company in late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And to make the story short, this guy, John, was told to do something. He didn't want to do it. So the boss made me do the work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do it, but my boss told me to do it. So I ended up doing it. This John guy started criticizing me the way I was doing my work. And I'm thinking like, this is your job that you're supposed to do. I ended up doing it.
So you're criticizing me.
So we started yelling. Make the story short, we ended up going to kitchen. We start screaming and yelling. He got tired of it. He was trying to leave. All he did was put his hands on me to move aside. But I interpreted as he was attacking me.
Uh-oh.
I ended up breaking his arm. So
okay.
I knew if I go back, I have to, out of principle, hit one or both of them. I already knew. I have to do it. But these guys, knowing they're fucking scumbag douchebag, they would have got lawyers and told everybody, see, he was a troublemaker, he's violent, this. I already knew what they were going to do.
Right.
I couldn't go back.
Right.
Especially work for this motherfucker, and I worked for him for 9 years, that he believed these people.
Yeah.
You know? I was really angry, but I didn't want to let him know because I want to keep having pleasant conversation to know all the other shit I wasn't really sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I smiled, but I couldn't believe all the bullshit that they said and they were doing after I got fired. And I got it from John, you know? Like this bitch, Sarah West, my ex-supervisor, right?
Yeah.
She acted like she was sad I got fired. She said, you know, I did my best, Yoshi, I'm sorry. I find out through talking to John, she told John that, yeah, we can't control the guy. He's a problem. Like this fucking bitch. She made it sound like she was on my side.
Yeah.
And two, right after I got fired, she told a couple of my ex-friends and ex-coworkers that she was trying to get some information. Like, yeah, Yoshi got a lawyer. He's going to sue the company. Did he say anything? It's not even true. I did not contact no lawyer.
Wow.
Now,
she's a fucking liar.
One of the issues that you had with them, because I know you expressed this to me before, is that you're obviously working in a very adult environment.
Yeah.
But that certain coworkers would bring their children to work.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And you would have this hardcore porn up on screens and their kids would like hang out behind you.
And okay.
Yeah, that's an awkward position to be in.
Wait, sorry, so you broke John's arm, correct?
No. He broke another guy's arm.
No. I have not touched anyone with Evil Angel.
This is another job.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This is a Japanese fish company that
I
worked
in. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Now I remember that. Sorry.
So
that's why he's got the chart. Don't you look at the chart?
Yeah, there's so many players in the game. I forget. I know. Okay.
So I worked there for 9 years. And what happened was when Christian Mann became a general manager of Voyager 4 years ago, maybe 4.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand why he did this, because the DVD sales dropped, so we had to cut expense. So we started closing offices, and we started putting everybody in one building.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have like 3 buildings, but we went to one. One of the unintended consequences of moving everybody in one building was Karen, John Stellion's wife, worked there, mm-hmm. but she often bring her daughter in there. And her office is right...
Is that really a picture of the daughter?
Yeah, and she does beauty pageant shit, you know? Yeah.
How did you get those pictures?
Internet.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's really the boy there on the
right? that's the new son, Lorenzo. He's 2 years old now, and Isabella's probably 12 or something like that. So, now, when they were in another building by themselves, it's kind of creepy what they're pulling shit in the office, but they're just the mom and the daughter. It's really weird, but at least they're not next to me. But when they move right next to me, and I work late, they're hanging out next door. It's fucking weird, you know? Mm-hmm. It's fucking weird. I didn't like it. I don't have a kid. I'm never going to have kids. But something's just not right. And I think bringing kids in that environment's not good, you know?
No, I agree with you. I think everybody would agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think any reasonable person would.
Yeah.
So they would be like, oh, like, kid's going to hang out right here on the couch behind you.
As you're editing, like, meh, meh, meh,
yeah, that's
juice.
A little...
Well, I mean, there's a couple of times she's walking down the office, and there's a couple of times I didn't know the kid was in the office. I don't know, because I'm working.
And you're editing this kind of shit, and there's like a kid behind you.
Yeah.
This is Yoshi, everybody. Meet Yoshi. He's the editor here.
This is my son over here, Kevin.
Oh, this is Kevin? Hi, hey. Nice to meet you.
Hi. I want chocolate milk.
Oh, you're so cute. How old are you?
I'm this many four.
Have you seen this before, body parts?
I don't know.
It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, especially because I have Elmo's puppets everywhere in my room.
Really?
I'm kidding.
luring those kids in.
So the reason why I bring the kids, and they got upset, mm-hmm. Ari Shaffir, I mentioned their names, but my point with the whole thing was...
Wait, the family got upset?
They got upset with me because, first of all, Christian Mann told me when I got fired, like, you should know better. As I'm leaving, he told me was John made a final decision. There's mm-hmm. nothing he could do, which is a complete lie.
Right.
He withhold information to John and lied to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left, he slipped me the official document why I got fired. I looked at it later on that night and basically say, you know, we had this conversation. You should know better than share people's name and information. And you ignore it, blah, blah, blah. We never had this conversation. Until that week, he didn't know I was contacting people. And why do I contact people? Because I have some show business connection. People ask me, like, hey, we need somebody for Man Show. On Joe Rogan thing, I brought a gay guy and a tranny. Jimmy Fallon, they needed a porn star on it. I got them, things like that.
Yeah, you hooked me up for that sizzle I made.
Yeah.
Remember? That was
so
awesome.
So whenever people ask me and when I know that person like yourself and I could trust, I will contact my porn friends. Maybe they'll help the mainstream stuff. And if I don't have their number and none of my co-workers have it, I'll go through a file and contact them. Not once have I had anybody get angry because I'm only offered them like...
work.
Mainstream opportunity or jobs. I have never, ever contacted them for sexual favor, this and that. And former general manager allowed me to do that because he thought that was good for PR. Anyway... this guy just said, like, Stagliano couldn't allow that happen. Like, okay, I wasn't aware of this fucking law and rule.
Yeah.
And they never had a worker's handbook until after 2 months after I got fired. They finally made a book. But, the rules are very loose at porn companies.
Sure.
Every time there's something happened, they'll just completely ignore it, you know? So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to throw all this book about me violating somebody's privacy, even though she wasn't upset with me, why is it that you guys fucking bring kids?
Yeah, true. Work,
which I complained multiple times. I don't feel comfortable with it.
And what would they say to you?
They just say, well, what can you do? It's Karen, owner's wife. They don't have any control over Karen, owner's wife. And my supervisor, ex-supervisor, Sarah West, she would bring her 2 daughters, Willow and Lily. And they're good kids, you know?
Now, did they hear you talking about the stuff on Ari's show? Is that what you said?
Yeah. And they I don't know. Some of the stuff got back. Sarah wrote letter to Ari saying, I'm upset. You know, those kids are protecting the environment, this and that. Yeah. And they're supervised. First of all,
it's nothing to do with Ari. Why does it have anything to do with Ari?
I don't know.
Because she wanted him to take the podcast out of there.
Really?
Yeah. And once again, truth is on my side. But first, a couple of things I have to say about her email. She said those kids are supervised. That's not true. She's. I don't know how many times I've been to her office. One or both of her daughters are there. There's nobody there because she's into picking up lunch or having meetings. You know what I mean?
How old are her kids?
The Willow, youngest one, which is weird. She's named after that 1987 Val Kilmer movie. But anyway, she's like five.
I love that you had the year
down.
I know.
Five was, I don't know what year, but that was a movie she's named after. But she probably was when she was five or six and like maybe six or seven.
Was hanging out at Evil Angel?
Yeah, in Sarah's office. And Willow, I mean, Lily, the older one, maybe eight, nine maybe. They're hanging out there. So she said those kids are over-supervised, which is not true. I've been there many times. There's nobody monitoring them. And I'm not saying there was any pedophile company, but you don't know that. Why would you bring kids there?
No, I would never bring a kid to a porn company.
It's bad enough kids get molested in Catholic school. Why would you bring kids to the porn?
Porn company's totally.
I complain many times about that, right?
Yeah.
And so she, in a letter saying, like, you're just being kind of phony or something. Like, he's even nice to those kids. Yeah. I like those kids. Kids are not the problem. Kids hanging out at the porn company is the problem.
Yeah.
And, I got in trouble because I yelled at one of my coworkers because he wasn't doing his job. And they told me, like, Yoshi, that's not your job to yell at your friends. Even though every time we get behind, they will make me do all the work because I'm Asian. I can't help it. If the department's late, I will do all the work. They don't give you overtime and they don't monitor what they're doing. So I got tired. People not doing their work. So I yell at this guy because he wasn't doing his work. So the reason why I'm telling you is because I'm telling you because it's not my job to tell people what to do. Fine. I asked the HR person, the GM, and supervisors. I don't feel comfortable with kids there. I don't think kids should be there. And they just ignore me.
You know what, though, Yoshi? It sounds to me like you spent 9 years in this dysfunctional family, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Pornographers are generally not the most stable of people.
Yeah. That's why I worked there.
I'm one of those. Hey, and do you think comedians are any better?
No.
Look, there's a reason you're in your mom's house because we share a lot of the same problems and neuroses. But I understand what it is to be fired.
But there's
it's devastating. Yeah. It's devastating. It's hurtful when people you trust and you think you can trust after 9 years suddenly kick you out and they lie to you over it. That's the bullshit part, is that they weren't straight with you.
But I think,
and it's very hurtful, and I completely empathize.
Yeah, and I think that Yoshi's whole point of this, though, is not, you know, it's not to say anything about the adult industry or even a company.
No.
I like porn.
Right.
Everybody,
but that's what I'm saying, though. But and you could even deal with being fired, but what most people, I mean, what I certainly could identify with is that if you're going to fire me and you're going to make up the reason that you're going to slam my character or like what I did or my work or make shit up, that's the thing to get upset about. Like, there's no reason that Evil Angel or these people that you're speaking of can't say that, like, you know, like you said, we didn't like you. We
don't want to pay you what you're worth.
We don't like your work.
Yeah.
No problem.
Whatever.
No problem.
You always look like you're tired.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they want to say.
No, you know what?
It's like, fine.
Even the overtime thing, they never pay me overtime except for the 1 month in 2009. But before that, hundreds of hours of overtime never get paid. I'm a team player.
Right.
I understand. So I'm dysfunctional. I'm not the easiest person to deal with.
Right.
I come to work late. But if you need me to stay up all night, I've done that many times. Stay up all night when some director turns shit late.
Yeah.
More than happy to help you.
Right.
And I'm not going to charge you overtime. It's give and take. But there's fucking lines and shit. I was just furious with every one of them. They're scumbags. So
we're back to the chart.
Back to the chart.
I'm mad at Adam Grayson because 2 weeks after I talked to John Stallion, I find out that he went upstairs right after I got fired, told all my coworkers that, you know, Yoshi deserved to get fired because of these rules. Rules I was never told. But Kevin said he wanted to surprise his wife, so the fact that he contacted his wife about tickets is wrong. Everybody in the room told him right away, Kevin never said that. See, even Adam's going up there telling everybody a lie and scenario that's not even true. So, and let me tell you about Kevin. For him to write a text message saying, it's very suspicious that you contact my wife, there is a director at Evil Angel named Manuel Ferreira. Very good looking guy, very good performer. Kevin fucked his wife behind his back 5-6 years ago.
Kevin fucked Manuel's wife.
6 or 7 years ago. 5, 6, 7 years
behind his back.
Yeah. Not for scene and things like that.
Just.
And how do I know that? Kevin fucking told me.
Does anybody else know this?
I don't know, but he think I'm setting up his wife. Well, you fuck other people's wife behind their back. And he told me that.
How did he fuck? I mean, I know biologically how it happens, but who's the wife? Is she a performer too?
Used to be a performer.
Yeah.
Dana Bespoli. I don't know her real name.
Okay.
But Kevin fucked his wife, right? So I'm thinking like, you of all the things I've done for you, getting tickets, getting discount with Apple computer, and like, you talk anyone who's known me in the porn business for a long time, one thing they would tell you, I always go out of way to help people with tickets and shows and this and that, trying to people. I never ask 1 cent. I never fuck anybody's wife. I never set up anybody's back.
Yeah.
So it fucking infuriated me. And I knew when John told me that that's what they said, I could never work with this man, because for him to even to believe that fucking bullshit, you know, it really made me sick. And so when I did the podcast, John told a couple of my ex-coworkers and my friends, like, what the hell is Yoshi? I tried to give him the job back. Why did he do that to me? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I can't work for those two guys. I can't take an order from two guys who tried to fuck me over like that.
Sure.
I don't think it's just my thing. I think most people can.
Well, they've ruined their own credibility by what they did. Yeah, I understand.
But don't you feel, Yoshi, that maybe it's good riddance and maybe it's time to surround yourself with better people? I mean, look, these people didn't have your back at the end of the day.
Yeah, good riddance, definitely time to move on.
Fuck them, on to the next.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, these people were never, maybe they never had your back.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, but it's. I'm not gonna lie to you. Money wise, right now, it's just been kind of rough.
I'm sure it has been. Yeah.
Would you ever edit porn again? Or
no? You know what's funny was within a couple of days of getting fired, another prominent company called Juice Jordan Company.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good guy. He wanted if I want a job. I really thought it for a second. Like, if I work for him, I have to smile and deal with these people like everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I worked with them for 9 years and 4 years of a retail porn business. I got to admit, there's parts of you just die, you know, but because I know way too much shit. I know girls in business, some of the things that they've gone through. I mean, I know I'm a perverted scumbag too, but once I meet these girls and then some of the things that happen to them,
I
really don't enjoy watching porn. And I think that's...
Knowing the trauma that they've been through.
Well, but wouldn't you say then it's kind of a blessing in the skies, if you will,
Tom? It is.
That you're out of this world. Maybe they did you a great favor.
It is, but I'm a pretty vindictive person.
Oh, revenge. That's the beginning of this episode. So, well, what would you like to do? I don't want you to tell us your plan for revenge, but
I believe in system that if you wait long enough and if you are honest and I believe that maybe I should have texted Kevin, but like he pissed me in with John Leslie stuff. I didn't have his number anymore. I had his number in my old phone, but the phone that I had that day, I didn't have it. And I just thought I had a good news for her. Oh, here's the thing I forgot to tell. His wife was in Chicago, just happened to be there because her dad was passing from
whose wife? Whose dad?
Kevin Moore's wife, that this Shazia girl.
Her dad.
Her dad was like sick with cancer or something. Uh-huh. So I feel bad for her. And I've been asking so much Russell Peter tickets. Like his older brother and his assistant getting tired of me keep asking free tickets for other people. Because they're not cheap tickets.
Yeah.
But I asked Russell because Russell's dad died from cancer too. And he know what it is. Like when his dad was dying from cancer, they drove from Toronto to Philadelphia every weekend for treatment.
Yeah.
It was a couple years before he hit it big.
Yeah.
So he's hot. She's hot. But the cancer part was the part that he was doing me a favor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my friends do me this favor and give me tickets. Maybe I should have waited the next day and get your number from somebody and did it. But my intention was good. My intention was always good.
And for I don't doubt it for a second, man. I don't doubt
for,
it.
For them to do that. So, and one critical thing. They point me fingers saying I don't behave this way and this and that, and they can't control me. I don't know why the fuck they need to control me. I always did my work way beyond anybody in the office, and even they will admit that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I'm getting old. What was the point I was trying to tell you?
But Yoshi, let me just go off on this tangent. Is that we saw what happened. Let me put it this way. It might be time. How long ago did this happen? This happened in February.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're in, what is this, almost December.
It's December, yeah.
And, you know, you held on to the resentment that you had with your stepmom, and you beat the shit out of her. Yeah. She got in the hospital for 3 months. You're no longer allowed to go back to Japan. That ended...
No, I'm allowed. I want to get out.
Right, but maybe you don't want to go back for obvious reasons, and that's
I think...
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it might be time to put this behind you and put it to rest.
And I am going to.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Even with all that shit that they told me, I let it go.
Yeah.
I let it go. Even when I found out Adam says stuff about me that wasn't true, I even let it go when Sarah lied about me and she lied about me supporting me, and I even let it go when the HR person Gloria Small, when she say completely lied to the unemployment person, I almost didn't get my fucking unemployment, and two, when I ask Gloria Small HR person help with the problem with kids. 3 months after I talked to her, 3 or 4 months after I talked to her, she told me, go to Sarah, supervisor's office. She has a surprise for me. So I walk into the office, and two of Sarah's, my supervisor kid, jump on me, right? I got bitten by one of them. Other one's grabbing by the leg, and her head is right by my balls. And like, that's not cool. If I fall on them, then they go to the hospital, and they ask what happened. I don't want to be part of that shit. So I even with all that shit, I let it go. My last straw was Kevin Moore talking to my coworker about something, and all of a sudden he brought my name and said, if I ever see Yoshi, he's in physical danger, and I think he said something about he's going to kick my ass and stuff like that. Like, you motherfucker, I let it go. It finally got back to me. Like, I let it go. I moved on, and he's bothering my fucking friends. That's why I want to give some recording of record of what they did, and that's it.
I see.
Yeah.
So next time they do bullshit, it won't be easy for them because Christian Mann tried to text me and contact me. I'm not going to fucking talk to you. There's no upside. But I want there to be record.
So there is a record now.
Yes.
You have
it's
record.
It's in the world.
But now you also know it's time. It's better for you, for your own mental, physical, just happiness and well-being to put some of this aside. And just,
it's going to take time.
That's like, you don't want to just, you don't want to think about this and let it consume you every day.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know? And in Yoshi's defense, I totally get it. Being fired, especially wrongfully, is probably one of the
most traumatizing,
depressing. It shatters you. It really fucks with you for a long time.
But even then,
it's devastating.
It's devastating.
And I get it.
Even then, I'm okay. It's just this lies.
Right, the lies. The
but
lies,
sweetie, lies. But listen, Yoshi, who are you dealing with? Are you dealing with the academic staff at UCLA?
No.
No. Are you dealing with Nobel laureates? No. You're dealing with fucking the porn industry.
Yeah.
So it's made up of people that are maybe less than morally upstanding. So you have to understand, consider the source of where this is coming from.
Yeah.
And are you better than that? Just like the, you know, when you say, oh, people make Asian jokes, I rise above it because I don't want them to let them know they got me.
And I don't give a shit about that.
But why would you give a shit about what these scumbags, if they are scumbags, are saying about you? What do you fucking care if a bunch of scumbags?
Because I give them my hard 9 years.
Right.
But now you know not to give scumbags your fucking 9 years. Scumbags.
Can I tell you just one more thing that I'm done with it?
Yoshi, you got to be done with this. You got to burn this after you're done. This is not healthy.
I'm going to put it on eBay. Now, one last thing. I told John about this, and he's just one of those guys.
You're still back on John. Yoshi?
He wants to make another point.
You need to hear this one.
Okay,
thing.
One point, one and point. We're done with this because this can't go on for your own good.
One more thing. So, there's several incidents where a person perform underage with a fake ID. It's not our job to figure out if they're correct IDs.
Right.
So they perform underage. We didn't know it. These people sometimes come back when they turn 18 with the correct IDs. Well, it's the same person with two different IDs. So I went to the management. This person's underage. We need to get their movie. Instead of doing the right thing, what Evil Angel did in the past, make multiple copies of the fake IDs, made that person look like 18. And I told that to the HR person, mm-hmm. the supervisor, GM, didn't give a shit. They just didn't want to have anything to do with it. The reason I'm telling you, I didn't want to tell Staliano, my boss, when I was working for him, because I didn't want to talk behind the GM, even though I didn't like the guy. I gave him at least that much of a respect. When I lost my job, that's one of the last things I told John. He said, don't worry about it. Why am I upset? Because ultimately, he doesn't care. He's not going to do the right thing. Because these pornographers' attitude, I know how they think. Their attitude is like, if they're 16, 17 porn, they were going to do it anyway. Yeah. Maybe there's some.
Right. They're pornographers and they're scum. That's the point.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a point. But this is a part that's just so disappointing with Evil Angel because he's pretend like he's very principled. The people who bought those movies trusted John Staliano that what they bought was girls with men.
Definitely.
18 years older.
Well, that's definitely. Obvious. Yes, yes, yes.
But he doesn't give a shit because the consumers, some of the movie have underage kids.
Yeah, I think what's fucked up about that point, because that seems like a little different than what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And none of my coworkers didn't give a shit, but it bothered me.
Well, I understand why it bothers you, but it also, that's the kind of thing where it sounds like, you know, you could be talking about a real legal issue at that point, right? I mean, having
but, underage performers. Again, that's what makes this whole machine go. Like, when you log on and you beat it to some girl, are you worried about her? You know what I'm saying? Like, as consumers of this shit, like, saying I'm sick of Britney Spears, but then you buy the Us Weekly that she's in.
Yeah.
So we're all contributing to the problem. Like, at what point?
No.
I am part of that because I'm not going to lie to you. If I see a picture of naked 17-year-old girls, just being the nastiness and wrongness, as somebody who watches a lot of porn, that's more enticing than regular stuff. I'm not going to lie to you because I've been in business for so long. Because one other thing that I'm relieved of not being in the porno business, because that business will take you places that you really don't want to go and think about.
Yeah.
You know, for John Staliano's wife used to tell me things like, she was talking about one of the directors like liking girls with puffy nipples. Like, she told me that, like, okay, whatever, I know that too. And she goes, because, you know, Isabella's having puffy nipples too. Like, why are you telling me about your 9-year daughter's puffy nipples?
I don't want
to
know.
To a creepy Asian guy.
Yeah, I don't want
to
know.
Which is redundant.
I don't want to know the shit,
So I'm relieved. That's the biggest relief. Like, I still, you know, check what's going on in porn and stuff like that, but I'm not part of it. And I don't really have to think about it because I don't see people like that anymore.
Good.
But, yeah.
Now, hey, and good riddance. And this is the new Yoshi. It's
new
2013
Yoshi.
Almost.
Next thing you know, next year I'm working at gay porn company.
For sure. You're
well, listen, lesson learned.
Yeah.
And I think you did invest some time with these people in your life.
Yeah.
And I think the lesson is, no more.
Yeah.
No more of these scum fucks. And can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When you refuse to lay down with dogs, because when you lay down with dogs, you get the fleas, right?
Yeah.
When you say no more laying down with dogs, you know what happens? You lay down with better dogs, with better people, okay? When you refuse to deal with the scum fucks in the world, the good people will come. But it's only until you say no to what you don't want more of. And I'm serious.
Yeah.
I dealt with shady. I used to do terrible clubs associated with terrible comedians. And the minute I said no more, I'm fucking done. It'll take a minute for the universe to rearrange itself. But when it does, the good stuff comes in.
You have to
let it happen. You have to say no.
And I think working in adult business, it just made me think, like, every time I see my friends with daughters. Because I just see the worst scenario.
Of course.
How girls are treated like that, you know.
Jesus, man. Jesus Christ.
Oh, is it time?
It's time.
We haven't done one of these in a while. Wow.
Yoshi, glad that you're here.
I'm very happy to be here.
It is time for a dental update, my friend. All our listeners know that music means it's teeth time.
Wait, speaking of, we need to go to the dentist.
We got
to
go. Here we are preaching what to do.
Yeah. It's been over a year since I've had a cleaning.
Really?
Now, I floss daily and I brush a lot, but that's not enough. It's no substitute for professional.
This month,
cleaning.
Let's do it. Make the call.
Yoshi's.
Set the appointment up. Now, did you just have some weird shit, some real shit go down with your teeth?
Yes.
What happened?
I went to Europe, Dubai, and Afghanistan over the summer. So a couple of days before my trip.
What did you go for, first of all?
Work in Scandinavia and Europe. Mm-hmm. It was comedy. But I was visiting my friends in Dubai. And I know this sounds really silly, but I went to Kabul, Afghanistan for vacation for like 10 days.
It's wonderful.
8 days, sorry.
The rocks, the sand, the sun.
Beautiful.
So
no electricity, the goats, the burkas. Yeah. Hold on, I got to take a whiz. I'm going to bring you another beer. You want a beer?
Yes, please. You want to pause for a second? Anything?
More vino. We can take a break.
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, you want to
take
that?
A break?
Yeah, we got to piss. We got to reset the decks. Let's do it.
Okay, right. Take a break.
All right.
Sorry.
We drank too much alcohol.
I have European story, but I think we've been...
Hey guys, so that was part one of the Yoshi episode, and pretty interesting stuff, and there's even crazier shit that's going to happen. We're going to release the second part of this episode on Friday, so you don't have to press your jeans and worry about them all week long. You're going to get the second half of this episode on Friday with even more revelations and crazier stuff.
Yoshi style, man.
Big time Yoshi styles.
Yeah, so... Thanks for listening, and just two more days. And you know what they could do if you want to guarantee you get it in 2 days?
What?
Subscribe on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe.
And pull your jeans up.
Up over your head. All right, so see you in a couple days,
guys. That's it. Thank you, mommies.
Yeah.
Okay. The Jizza. Tony Touch Classic. You know what I'm saying? Head one time, blaze up on y'all one time real fast.
Do the mix, you know on that saying? Shit. Make it a record real quick. Do your thing.
Seat
belt, so. Yeah, hook it up. Nah, make it a record. Get down, yo.
I take y'all niggas straight beneath the surface to the core. If it ain't raw, it's worthless. Pen tab professional, hola ink. Wild river raps fall off the raft and sink. Tony let a brother touch, 20 bar rush. The way we push through equivalent, the rocket thrust. A law just, I lay for the mixtapes. Put the Quaker label me. The sound came out of rusted crate. Surrounded by cobwebs, beat smooth enough to slide through like bobsleds. On a cold white snow plus with the right flow. Wu-Tang niggas, they shine and make the mic glow.
You killing no gorilla in with all that screw facing. Pacing back and forth looking savage, stop.
Rather plugged in or plugged out. I ain't good mugged or thugged out. Blood in or blood out. Some was bugged out. Might look at you and slice you. Bumping the face through with a saber run Mikey swoop. Who the fuck you think let y'all wild niggas in? Allow you to put down your guns and raise your pen. Rule a zigzag zig. We don't fuck with no pig. We teach the kids. You'd rather have a bullet or a word to your wig. Motivates increases. Pull a hole the size of 50 cent pieces. Don't worry about the weed or pussy. I read books. I'm liable to make your king with three rooks. You see the rude devil, you raise the black fist. Maybe Tony touched Concord, needle was scratched this. The ice cube link you bought from the Jew for 80 G's was only appraised at 42. Gazed upon by the eyes of multitude of people who would trade gold for food. I heard boys had killed more than nuclear wars had. Was three sons who walk around dressed in all red. Bobby, did you say if you ever in Compton or Long Beach, break my son's Doc Doom in crisis with a nice piece.
Can I trade on mixtape with the legislation? Illustrate constant elevation, spark friction, Shawshank, golden on redemption, endorsed by the master inscription signature.
Off top, mind orthodox style of attack. It's like Hannibal rolling on elephant's back. Pack a long barrel, busting off strong ammo. My light so vast, I cast 20-foot shadows. First family, fifth capo, micro to macro. Load it in your head, play it back slow. Act like you know, this is no drill. Murderous rap, but feel going for kill. On these New York City sidewalks, we walk camouflage, dodging the eyes of the hawk. Canine sport, toting the fifth, sliding off. My live source, moving across with brute force. Blood sport, many more heads face the blade. Fakers must fade, the stakes have now raised. Words of murder, suspense and intrigue. Make major league niggas show signs of fatigue. My killer bees span wider than seven seas. Squeeze on MCs with bullet train speed. Tony's touch create more gold than my lighters, your highness, all in your head like your hairstylist.
Frosty mug, big ringleaders, top secret thug, lamping and teeters, Orenthal with the murder glove. Boat of the town, devilish grin, look peculiar. Swung on his faggot, knocked the windows out of Sylvia's. Tim's got scuffed up, my ankles got sprained, that's my word. To every single seat, I smack flames. Staten Island's Bayside, the teachings of Elijah. Thrown out the temple, now colliding with the father. Nicknames Puddin', Clarence 13X before the Will Smiths and the limelights of Cuba Gooding. Lost in the cosmos, exploding through a quasar. Be ducking pulsars again and stay still, be the gods. Tony Tots, Tony Tots. Word out. Big face, ghost in the fake.